Most of the ideas, the great ideas, scientific ideas, were emerging from American universities at that time. And also the material, the life. Life during the war and just before the war in England was very dull. And during the war it was particularly dull. There was no intellectual excitement there. There was a kind of envy which we'd experienced due to the deprivations of the war years and the previous year, which was satisfied to some extent by American magazines. I used to spend a lot of time going to the American Embassy in London, where they had a library. And they had Life magazine and Look and later Playboy and Good Housekeeping even. All these magazines were on the tables in the American Embassy. We looked at these not only the lifestyle, but also the appliances, the cars, with not even a kind of energy, but an analytical interest. Why is it different? In what way is it different? And also, we saw, and I certainly felt this quite strongly, that there was a new class of art which was not popular art in the sense of craft, stuff you buy in markets, or tiles and things done for canal boats in England, painted buckets, but art that was done by intellectuals for the masses. There's a big difference in the art of this century. The cinema in particular has brilliant people working for it, but they have to work for a large audience. Working for a mass audience doesn't mean that it's pop art. And I think that they played intellectual games in the films of the 50s and 60s, which could amuse them, but which was a separate layer, which was appreciated by the industry, or even misunderstood by the industry. And if it made money, it was okay, because the story was at another level. But films by Billy Wilder, for example, are brilliantly conceived and intellectual. But they managed to also achieve this high audience. They made money. So that was a different kind of artist, I felt. The term pop art doesn't mean much to me anymore. For the last 20 years, I suppose, I've been doing things which I found interested me. I think it was largely due to the moment when I realized that there were a great many people who were influenced by Duchamp. There was concept art and all these Fluxus, all these labels. You can find your roots back to Duchamp, and Duchamp was loved by the American artists in the most extraordinary way. And when he died, this enormous wave of new disciples of Duchamp emerged. And I thought, there's something wrong with this. Duchamp could be an iconoclast and a nihilist almost, but you couldn't form a new movement of iconoclasm. I mean, if an iconoclast is when they knock down gods. But if everybody starts knocking down all the gods, it's just chaos. So I felt that work was getting, artwork was getting a little chaotic. There's nothing you can think of in connection with the philosophical idea of the ready-made that Duchamp didn't cover. He knew all the possible permutations of what the ready-made could be or was, and wrote, even if it's just a three-line note, you understand. He knew exactly what he was doing. And then he made this new character for himself. He said, if the crafted work is done by myself, Marcel Duchamp, a man, then these other things must be done by a woman. He'll give her a name, and he called all these things by the name, using the pseudonym Marcel V. Not very seriously, not saying these are by Marcel V and making a complete split. But on the other hand, he did get Man Ray to photograph him in women's clothes as a kind of dowager duchess almost. And so I think he was interested in this division between these two possibilities. And I thought that the most important thing, I suppose, in Duchamp's thinking throughout his whole life was that he would not be interested in visual things. He was anti-retinal. He said the eye is not important, it is the mind. Forget about the retina, forget about the beauty of a mark. There were drawings by Duchamp which I think are so bad that they could only have been done because he was trying to make the very bad drawing. But I said, if this is the case, if the most important thing is that Duchamp is anti-retinal, maybe I should do retinal art. We mustn't forget that the mind and all that Duchamp brought to that. But perhaps we should think about the possibility of making retinal art as a tribute to following his path, is the path of iconoclasm, and that meant shutting the door on some of Duchamp's ideas. I did observe the way woman was presented in society very closely. I looked at the advertising, and when they were selling cars, they were also using women to sell the cars. The woman was always caressing the car. And I got into a little difficulty with this because I looked also at the pin-up in Playboy, and I tried to analyze what the characteristics of this image were. And so I put in it a thing like a telephone and slightly fetishistic objects like a high-heeled shoe and a brassiere, which was taken off. But the women's liberation movement, when I did that, was in full force. And I got a lot of flack from the women's liberation people who said that this was a sort of glorification of the female as an erotic object. But I didn't feel it with that. I felt that the liberation was, there was a kind of liberation in the removal of the bra, which had even been used by the women's liberation movement. Take off your bra was the big slogan. And so when I had the Playboy girl take off the bra and hold it, I thought I was just supporting this in a way, but putting it in its context. I think that a lot of ideas that I represent in the painting, and a lot of the people are there because they're abundant, they're everywhere. Celebrity means that their pictures appear very frequently. So it's easy to work with celebrity rather than anonymity. And I think it comes out of the use of collage. Since I am a collagist, cut up things from newspapers, or I did. A drawing that I made prior to the erection of the thing. The face that appears in that position is the face of Mitterrand, French Prime Minister. But it's not that I was interested in Mitterrand or the fact is being a Prime Minister any more than that. But you're more likely to find something you want, the size you want, in a newspaper if it's a figure that is current in the news. Those things that look like choices are not necessarily choices. They come to me almost accidentally. Why Bing Crosby? Is it because I'm a great admirer of Bing Crosby? Not at all. Yes, I like Bing Crosby. I'm not against Bing Crosby. But on the other hand, I don't think that he's such an important subject that one should represent him. But I was doing a lecture which required a certain amount of research into the new technological advances in the cinema in the 50s. In the document was a piece of the film. It was 70 millimeters wide, not 35, which is interesting and important, and the change that took place at that time. See, I was interested in things like Todd Ayer, widescreen, CinemaScope, all that. That's what the thing was about. But this piece of film was negative. That means that it was orange. There's an orange filter in color film. You can't see any color in it at all until it's printed. But there's no technology which prints at that time, which made the reversal for a print. you printed onto film. That would be used to make a film which could be projected. So I began to wonder, what is inside this layer? The negative of colour, and I tried all sorts of ways. I was really struggling with this thing, and I worked on it for a long time. And that was the reason for doing it. It was about colour reversal. It wasn't about Bing Crosby. There was a period when I began to be aware that it was very rare to see text in a painting. It's not normal. In the old days, there were little bits of text in there. There was a panel. Durer would engrave a little text maybe in one corner of a print, an engraving. But I was interested very much in advertising requires text and image. So that was one of the things I could take, the word as well as the image. And it was the first painting I did which tried to grasp that principle was a picture called Ah, A-A-H-A. It's like, it's associated with sexual gratification. Ah, yes. So there was this desire and fulfillment of desire. And the painting was all about this feeling, the word Ah, the way it was painted. And I said to myself that photographs which are out of focus that were very fashionable and advertising, you get the finger of a woman, I think. Not that you see the woman, but it's like touching the gear lever, and instead of grasping it, it's just this little pressure on a lever, tiny lever. I was interested in the possibilities of putting the word in the picture.